Natosmyaham tacharanam samiyusham. Bhavat chidam swastyagnanam sumangalam. Yohyatma maya vibhavam smaparayagad. Yatha na bhashvantamatha parekutaha. Natosmyaham tacharanam samiyusham. Bhavat chidam swastyanam smumangalam. Yohyatma maya vibhavam smaparyagad. Yatha na bhasvantamatha parekutaha.
My obeisances.
Asmi.
Am.
Aham.
I. Tat. The Lord's. Sharanam. Feet. Samiyusham. Of the surrendered soul. Bhavat Chidam. That which stops repetition of birth and death. Swasti Ayanam. Perception of all happiness. Sumangalam. All auspicious. Yaha. One who. He. Exactly. Atma Maya. Personal energies. Vibhavam. Potency. Sma. Certainly. Pariyagat. Cannot estimate. Yatha, as much as, Nabaha, the sky, Svaantam, its own limit, Atha, therefore, Apare, others, Kuta, how. Therefore, it is best for me to surrender unto his feet, which alone can deliver one from the miseries of repeated birth and death. Such surrender is all auspicious and allows one to perceive all happiness. Even the sky cannot estimate the limits of its own expansion. So what can others do when the Lord himself is unable to estimate his own limits? I was told we are continuing the purport from yesterday's Srimad Bhagavatam class. The second paragraph begins. Anyone denying this surrendering process, as recommended both in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and for that matter in all authorized scriptures, will be forced to surrender unto the laws of material nature. The living entity, by his constitutional position, is not independent. He must surrender, either unto the Lord or unto material nature. Material nature is also not independent of the Lord, since the Lord himself has claimed material nature as Mama Maya, or my energy. Bhagavad Gita 7.14. And as me bhina prakritir ashtadha, or my separated energy in eight divisions. Therefore, material nature is also controlled by the Lord, as he has claimed in Bhagavad Gita 9.10, mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Under my direction only is material nature working, and thus are all living things moving. And the living entities, being superior energy to matter, have choice and discrimination, either to surrender unto the Lord or to surrender unto material nature. By surrendering unto the Lord, one is happy and liberated. But by surrendering unto material nature, the living entity suffers. So the end of all suffering means surrendering unto the Lord, because the surrendering process itself is bhava chidham, liberation from all material miseries. Swasti ayanam, perception of all happiness, and sumangalam, the source of everything auspicious. Therefore, liberty, happiness, and all good fortune can be attained only by surrendering unto the Lord, because he is full of liberty, full happiness, and full auspiciousness. Such liberation and happiness are also unlimited, and they have been compared to the sky. Although such liberation and happiness are infinitely greater than the sky, in our present position, we can simply understand the magnitude of greatness when it is compared to the sky. We fail to measure the sky, but the happiness and liberty obtained in the association of the Lord are far greater than the sky. That spiritual happiness is so great that it cannot be measured even by the Lord himself, not to speak of others. It is said in the scriptures, Brahma Sokyam Tvanantam. Spiritual happiness is unlimited. Here it is said that even the Lord cannot measure such happiness. This does not mean that the Lord cannot measure it, and is therefore imperfect in that sense. The actual position is that the Lord can measure it, but the happiness in the Lord is also identical with the Lord on account of absolute knowledge. So the happiness derived from the Lord may be measured by the Lord, but the happiness increases again, and the Lord measures it again, and then again the happiness increases more and more, and the Lord measures it more and more. As such, there is eternally a competition between increment and measurement, so much so that the competition is never stopped, but goes on unlimitedly, ad infinitum. Spiritual happiness is anandam buddhivardhanam, or the ocean of happiness which increases. The material ocean is stagnant, but the spiritual ocean is dynamic. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, 4th chapter, Kabiraj Goswami has very nicely described the dynamic increment of the ocean of spiritual happiness in the transcendental person of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Om Agyantimirandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Gena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katamayam Dadati Shva Patantikam. Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Harijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi
pranamami hari priye panchakalpatadubhyascha kripasindubhya evacha patitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Therefore it is best for me to surrender unto his feet, which alone can deliver one from the miseries of repeated birth and death. Such surrender is all auspicious and allows one to perceive all happiness. Even the sky cannot estimate the limits of its own expansion. So what can others do when the Lord himself is unable to estimate his own limits? Hare Krishna. I thank you for allowing me to make some attempt to serve all of you by trying to repeat Srila Prabhupada's words in regard to this beautiful verse from the second canto, sixth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the prayer of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, who was born of the lotus flower from the navel of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, was lost, bewildered, and confused. He was searching to understand who he was, where he was, what he was supposed to do in his life. But the Lord revealed to him through the words tapa that he should perform austerities. And through those austerities, the Lord revealed himself to Lord Brahma and gave him all transcendental knowledge. And from that point, the great disciplic succession of the Brahma Sampradaya had begun. It describes in Srimad Bhagavatam how every night of Brahma, when Brahma goes to sleep, there's a partial annihilation of the universe. Up to the Swargaloka planets, practically everything is submerged in the Garbhodak ocean. And when Brahma wakes up, he sees that practically everything he did the day before is finished. He has to more or less start all over again. But he doesn't know how. So again, he prays to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in one prayer, he's regretting that he has such a service. Because he's explaining that I know, because I'm creating this place, that it's a place of suffering. There can be no real happiness in this material existence. It is a place where people futilely struggle hard to try to find some temporary happiness and are ultimately smashed by Maya and have to suffer birth after birth after birth. Now a Vaishnava is paradukaduki. He hates to see the suffering of others. In fact, the only suffering he knows is the suffering of others. Vasudev Dat, he prayed that let me suffer for the rest of eternity in hellish conditions, taking on the karma of all other living entities in this universe, and let them be liberated and go back to your abode. That's the mood of a Vaishnava. Brahma's a Vaishnava. So he regrets having to create a material existence where everyone suffers. But yet it is the order and the will of the Lord. So therefore, it must be done. to facilitate the living entities who are continuously misusing their minute independence to try to enjoy separate from the loving service of Krishna. Jivera Swarupai Krishna Nitya Das. This is our constitutional position, to serve Krishna with love. But we come to this world and we remain in this world because we want to exploit what is meant for Krishna's satisfaction. Bhoktaram yikatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suratam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shanti mrityati. Krishna tells us very simply in Srimad Bhagavad Gita that if you want to actually be peaceful, simply understand that I am the proprietor of everything that exists, and all things are meant for my service, for my satisfaction. And trust me, I am your ever-well-wishing friend. If we only have that faith, we never have to suffer again. So here, in this beautiful Purusha Shukta confirmed chapter, Lord Brahma is explaining the transcendental nature of the bliss that comes through surrendering to Krishna. In the material sense, surrender is a horrible thing. Just like we heard in the Second World War, they just bombed Germany and bombed it and bombed it and bombed it. And they struggled and struggled until it was just utterly hopeless and everything was finished. Then they surrendered. And then it was Japan's turn. We were fighting and fighting and fighting in this island and that island and so many other islands. And then ultimately, they dropped atomic bombs in Hiroshima, other places. Everything was finished. They surrendered. I remember seeing old historical newspapers of that day. It said, front headlines, Japan surrenders. Hare Krishna. They were not experiencing unlimited bliss that cannot even be measured through the measurement of the sky. They were simply suffering. They were beaten down. They surrendered due to unlimited misery. That's because they didn't surrender to Krishna, who is the source of all happiness. Surrendering to Krishna comes through the voluntary sweet will of the soul. When we make that decision in our life that Krishna, from this day on, I am yours. Srila Prabhupada said that. As soon as you really say that and mean it, you're liberated. That Krishna, from this day on, I am yours. I am for you to utilize according to your sweet will. Bhagavad Gita tells us that what tastes like nectar in the beginning tastes like poison in the end. And what tastes like poison at the beginning tastes like nectar in the end. Surrender for a materialistic person is worse than death. Why? Because the only reason we live is to enjoy. To give up enjoyment means to give up living. I think it was here in Los Angeles where Prabhupada was giving that famous class. He was talking about surrendering. And at the end of the class, he said, and when Krishna consciousness prevails in the world, there will be no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meeting, so many no's. The demons, they will die. Thank you very much. Everyone went, Jai Prabhupada. Little did we know when we said Jai Prabhupada, he was talking about us. Talking about surrender is one thing, but actual surrender is something very deep. In the beginning stages, surrender means just to do what you're told. Guru Maharaj and Krishna are telling us through disciplic succession You chant 16 rounds every day. You follow these four regulative principles. But actual surrender begins at that point. And as we become more purified, we realize that what we really have to surrender is our false ego. The misconception that I am the enjoyer, that I am the proprietor, that I am praiseworthy. We have to sincerely surrender everything that we want for ourselves since time immemorial to Krishna. Hare Krishna. We say all glories to Prabhupada. We don't say 50% glories to Prabhupada. But let me take 50% as my commission from all the hard work I've been doing for the last 30 years in this movement. To give all glories to Prabhupada means to take nothing for oneself. That is surrender. Trinadapi suniche na tarorapi sahishna na amani na manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be more humble than the straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. In that state of consciousness, we can surrender to the holy name of Krishna, and we can chant constantly. Krishna tells us in Gita, Sarva dharman puritya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papibhyo moksha ishami masaja. Abandon all other misconceptions, even all other varieties of religion. Just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. In this material existence, everyone is fearful. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. There's danger at every step. Whatever we have can be lost in a matter of moments. Everything is so uncertain. Kamala dala jala jivana talamala. Vajahun hari padani tire. Our wife, our husbands, our children, our wealth, our prestige, everything that we call our own, including our body and our very life, is compared to a drop of water on a lotus leaf. At any moment, not maybe or if, but at any moment, that drop will fall and disappear. Or as Srila Prabhupada explains in Srimad Bhagavatam, that all of the things we become attached to in this material world are like foaming bubbles on the surface of the ocean of material existence. And at any moment, those bubbles will burst into oblivion. In that same section of Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explains what life is. Material life means simply a dead body flapping for a few minutes only. Hare Krishna. But yet human life is so very precious, because while we're flapping, we can experience the unlimited oceanic bliss of Krishna consciousness if we just flap the right way. Just use this dead corpse to just flap by clapping our hands and dancing for Krishna, speaking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna. The greatest treasure of all treasures is available. Here, Lord Brahma, who with his four heads can see everything in the entire creation of his in the four directions, who's so super intelligent. He's not just... Recently, I was in India, and one of our very, very good friends, he's father of one of the devotees of our temple, he's a very sweet man, Dr. Vishwash. He headed the team that put the first Indian satellite in the sky. And he got all sorts of awards. And he's always traveling around the world giving seminars about space technology. And when he talks about it, I cannot understand anything he says. I'm a layman. But he's really erudite, really a scholar. And he has so many awards all over his house. Because he put one satellite in the sky. And one of these days, it's going to fall. But what has Lord Brahma done? Brahma is the father of all living entities in this material, in this universe. And he's just doing it as an instrument in the hands of Krishna. So what is his intelligence? But yet here he is confessing, I cannot even begin to understand the glories of Krishna or the bliss of devotional service to Krishna. Vrindavan Das Thakur in his Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. He begins one chapter by saying, I'm about to try to explain the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But who can describe these pastimes? Just like a bird flies as high as he can into the unlimited sky, according to his capacity, he covers some of the sky. But what is the significance of the sky that he has covered? Similarly, in the same way, nobody could even begin to explain the immense, unlimited glories of Krishna. However, it's our duty to just try our best according to our capacity, and that is the perfection of our life. Whether you're Hanuman lifting big mountain peaks to build the bridge, or you're that little spider just kicking specks of sand, if we just try to glorify Krishna according to our capacity, that is the perfection of our lives. And anyone who thinks that they're great in their glorification of Krishna means they do not know Krishna at all. The more you know Krishna, the more you realize how utterly insignificant you are. The more you know Krishna, the more you understand how much you do not know about Krishna. Because Krishna is unlimited. So what is this Trinadapi Sunichena? To be more humble than a blade of grass. This is the quality of someone who knows Krishna. When we're standing before God, like that little bird looking at the unlimited sky, what a humbling experience it is. We read the prayers of the great acharyas. We do not find that they say, I know Krishna. They're praying. In fact, they're weeping and crying. I do not know you, Krishna. I have not served you properly, Krishna. With all that Krishna is doing for every living being, how could we properly serve him? How could we properly repay him? It's impossible. So the natural symptom of a person who actually knows Krishna is that person becomes extremely humble. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, when he was instructing Srila Rupa Goswami, he said, I'm about to tell you about Krishna and devotional service to Krishna. This subject matter is like a vast, bottomless, shoreless ocean. And what I'm going to tell you is just a portion of one drop from that ocean. That's all Lord Chaitanya explained that he is able to explain about Krishna, is one drop from the unlimited ocean of his qualities. And Srila Rupa Goswami just took that drop. And he and Sanatana Goswami and Jiva Goswami and all of our Gaudiya Vaishnava literatures are just the content of that part of the drop that Lord Chaitanya gave to the world. And it's the highest, most inclusive, most profound understanding of the absolute truth that has ever been revealed in all of creation. But somehow or other, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that one little drop, that one little tiny part of a drop can drown the entire material creation is in ecstatic bliss of love of Krishna. So how can we even imagine with our tiny little brains the ocean of Krishna's qualities? The ocean of transcendental happiness that is found in surrendering to Krishna. So this surrender is real wealth. And Lord Brahma is declaring this very, very clearly, that the true wealth, the true joy of life is surrender. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to reveal this truth very clearly to the world. And he did it in so many ways through many of his devotees. One of whom was Kolavecha Sridhar. Do I have a few more minutes, Swavas Prabhu?
Yes, sir.
Just tell me when I should shut my mouth. That is your hospitable Vaishnav nature. Kolavecha, I won't go too long though. Kolavecha Sridhar, by material calculations, he was a total failure. He would sell banana leaves, banana roots, banana flowers, and bananas too. And he sold them very, very cheap price. He was as honest as Maharaj Yudhisthira. He would quote the cheapest possible price he can get away with and still survive. Therefore, nobody ever questioned his price. They would just pay whatever he asked because he was just so honest. He was so poor and so insignificant that, do you know, nobody in Navadvip even knew his name. Sridhar. They only know him as Kolavecha, which means the banana leaf seller. He was really a humble soul. But Lord Chaitanya wanted to reveal very, very essential truths through this devotee. Every day, Lord Chaitanya, who was at that time Nimai Pandit, before he revealed himself and as the Supreme Lord and began his preaching of Harinam Sankirtan, Lord Chaitanya was performing the leela of appearing like a very arrogant student and teacher. So he would travel through the marketplaces of Navadvip just to induce people to render service to him, knowingly or unknowingly. They would get purified and delivered. And every day he would go to Kolavecha Sridhar. And he would say, how much is this banana cost? Sridhar would tell him, what is the cost? He said, this is too much. You are cheating. I will give you half the price. Sridhar said, I'm telling you honestly. How can I give you half the price? Oh, why are you charging so much? Sridhar would say, no, this is the fair price. Why don't you go to some other place if you don't like my price? There's other people selling bananas and leaves and roots. Chaitanya Nimai Pandit would say, I know a good supplier when I have one, and I will not give you up. In fact, I will take these bananas without paying anything. And then he'd start walking away. And Sridhar would hold on to him, and Lord Chaitanya would push him. And they would have these debates. Lord Chaitanya loved this devotee so much that it was his regulation that every single day he would argue with Kolavecha Sridhar for 2 hours. What kind of devotee is that? One that cultivates Shita, whatever little bit of paisas he got, the first thing he would do is use half of it to worship Mother Ganga. And then with the rest of it, he would somehow or other try to sustain his family. One day, Nimai approached him and said, Sridhar, you're constantly chanting Hari Hari. But what have you gotten out of it? Look at you. You're emaciated due to hunger. Your clothes, every part of your clothes has at least 10 knots tying up the holes in it. And look at your house. It's just a grass shack with so many holes in it. I see that those who are worshipping Durga, or the goddess of snakes, Manasa, they have so much affluence. They're not starving. They're eating nicely. They have nice homes. What is this devotion to Krishna doing for you? Sridhar would reply, Oh Brahman, I have whatever I need. Somehow I'm eating, sometimes a little, sometimes a lot, and I'm wearing clothes, and I do have a house. But look at your house, look at your clothes, and look at you! Sridhar said, I have learned in my life that essentially everyone is passing their time in the same way. There is the king who lives in a big, beautiful palace lighted by jewels, and he's eating luxurious foods. And then there's the bird who's just living in a tree. But I don't see much difference between the two. They are both passing their time the same way. Krishna is providing whatever I need, whatever I want. I'm happy. Then Lord Chaitanya told him, I know that you have a great treasure. You are a wealthy man, but you're hiding your treasure. Someday, I'm going to find that treasure and I'm going to reveal to the world how you're cheating everyone, pretending to be so poor and poverty-stricken when you have a great treasure buried in your property. Sridhar was very much alarmed by this. He said, No, my lord, you can search. You can go anywhere. Whatever you see is what I am and what I have. He said, I will reveal this great treasure, you cheater. He asked Sridhar, Do you know who I am? Do you know something about me? Sridhar would say, Yes, you are a Brahmin. He said, No. I don't consider myself a Brahmin. I consider myself a cowherd boy. And I was born in a family of cowherd boys. And Sridhar was, what is he talking about? He could not understand due to the Lord's yogamaya potency. And then the Lord continued. He said, Actually, why don't you give me your bananas for free? Because after all, you use half your profits for worshipping Mother Ganges. And I am the Lord and Master of Mother Ganges. She is emanating from my lotus feet. Sridhar would hold his ears and say, Vishnu, 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 what are you saying? There you go. Thank you, that was the best part of the class. Shows how innocence has potency. So, he said, generally when a person starts getting older in age, he becomes more sober. But you're becoming more mischievous as you get older. How can you say you are the source of Mother Ganges? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would take the bananas and walk away. And Kolavetra Srira would say, you can have whatever you like. So in this way, the Lord was revealing the intimacy of love he had for this very simple, poor devotee. Lord Chaitanya loved Sridhar so much that every day his meals were off the banana leaf plates and cups that Sridhar would give him. And because Sridhar's house was made out of grass, there was a squash, pumpkin, sabji that would grow from the roof of his house. And whenever one grew, he would give it to Lord Chaitanya. And he would eat it with great, great love. And he would eat the bananas and the banana roots and the banana flowers and bring them home to Sachi Devi to prepare for him. Because they are offered with devotion. So years later, the Lord revealed himself to his devotees. He began his Sankirtan movement. And during the Mahaprakash Lila, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was revealing himself just according to the way the devotees were worshipping him, he was calling his best servants. Then he told the devotees, "Bring me Sridhar." As he was sitting on the throne of Vishnu, he said, "Bring Sridhar." "Who's Sridhar?" "He's living on the other side of the town. All night long, for 12 hours continuously, he does not sleep. He just cries out loudly the names of Lord Hari." And the local materialistic people, they hate it. They can't sleep. They condemn him. They criticize him. They blaspheme him. Sometimes they scream at him, "Why don't you shut up? We want to sleep. We have to get up early in the morning to make money. That's the perfection of life. You're an obstacle. We know why you're crying all night, because you're worshiping this Lord Hari. And what is Hari giving you? You're so skinny, you're emaciated, your stomach is suffering due to the fire of hunger, and therefore you're screaming all night due to that hunger pains." Sometimes they'd throw a subji at him and say, "Take this and shut up." But Kolavetra Sridhar couldn't care less what anybody said about him. He just continued all night loudly chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. The Lord told the devotees, "Just start walking in that direction. After a while, you'll hear Sridhar crying out Krishna's name." Because it was the middle of the night. "Just follow that sound and it will bring you to him." So they started walking and they heard in the distance, "Hare, Hare." They started following the sound and it brought them to Kolavetra Sridhar. They said, "The Lord, Gauranga, wants you to come." As soon as he heard Gauranga's name, he fell unconscious. They lifted him up and somehow practically carried him to Srivasangam. Lord Chaitanya saw Sridhar come before him. He said, "Sridhar, come, look at me." Sridhar looked at him, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested a most beautiful transcendental form. His complexion was dark like the tamal tree. He had a peacock feather decorating his hair, his beautiful lotus eyes casting his merciful glance upon his devotee. On his side was Lord Balaram. There was Kadamba trees, the river Jamuna, the forest of Braja. He saw the goddess of fortune offering gifts to the Lord. There was Brahma and Shiva offering prayers. Then he saw Sukadeva Goswami, Sanaka, and Narada Muni singing the praises of Krishna and Balaram. Then he saw hundreds and thousands of the most beautiful goddesses all singing the praises of Lord Krishna. Kolaveta Sridhar beheld that darshan. It was too much for him. He fell unconscious. We're reading today about the unlimited happiness of surrendering to Krishna. He couldn't even maintain his consciousness. There was so much happiness. But then the Lord called to him, Sridhar, get up. And then that word of the Lord gave him the power to again stand up. Lord Chaitanya said to Sridhar, ask from me a boon, any boon you desire, I will give you. I will give you all the 8 mystic perfections. Kolaveta Sridhar said, my Lord, I have not come to be in the marketplace with you. I do not want anything from you. What will I do with 8 mystic perfections? I do not want anything. The Lord told Sridhar, I will make you a king and give you an entire kingdom. You're so poor, you have nothing. Take it. Sridhar said, no, my Lord, I do not want anything. I will give you liberation, mukti. And when the Lord talks about liberation, he's talking about promoting him to the spiritual world. Sridhar said, my Lord, I do not want liberation. The Lord asked again and again and again, you must accept a boon from me. Tell me what you want. Sridhar said, please, be peaceful at heart, my Lord. I do not need anything. The Lord said, but I am peaceful and I am happy. But I want to give you a boon. You must ask for something. So just to please the Lord, he said, yes, you can give me this boon. That beautiful boy, Nimai, birth after birth after birth, may you always come and steal my bananas. In every birth that I take, let me always see that beautiful little boy coming to take my bananas. And let me always remember him in the core of my heart. That is the only boon I desire. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased. He actually told Sridhar, offer prayers to me. Sridhar, he said, but I'm not a learned person. I don't know how to offer prayers. Lord Chaitanya said, just speak something. Just speak anything. Whatever's in your heart. So Sridhar made some attempt to speak. And then Lord Chaitanya called for Goddess Saraswati and ordered her to take residence on Sridhar's tongue. Just so, whatever was in his heart, he could speak with eloquent poetry. Such a beautiful prayer he offered to the Lord. That you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of the entire cosmos. You are the proprietor of everything that exists. You are Agni. You are Vayu. You are Vishnu. You are Indra. You are liberation. You are the 8 mystic cities, and you are ultimately pure devotional service. Pure devotional service resides within your heart, my Lord. But now you are so merciful. You who are the Lord of Gokul have descended into Navadvip. And that pure treasure of pure love of God that is secret within your heart, you have now distributed profusely in the city of Navadvip. The power of devotional service is so great that one who has that devotional service, which is given by you, conquers you by that love. Bhishma Dev, because Bhishma Dev had bhakti, he defeated you in the battlefield. And Satyabhama, due to her devotion, she treated you like a henpecked husband. Give me that Parijata tree.
Yes, my dear.
Due to pure devotional service, you would carry the cowherd boy, Sri Dama, on your shoulders. How is this? You are Vishnu. From your mere exhalation, hundreds and billions and trillions of universes are coming out of your body. But you are carrying the cowherd boy, Sri Dama, on your shoulders, defeated by his love. The greatest secret of all secrets is that you are conquered by the love of your devotee. And one who begs you for pure devotional service, that person makes you a captive prisoner in his heart. But unfortunate as I am, Sridhar said, I have no devotion. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Sridhar a boon. He said, I give you the boon of pure unalloyed devotion to me. And when he spoke those words, all the devotees became ecstatic and started chanting, Jai, Jai, Jai. Because the greatest pleasure for a Vaishnava who's actually understanding what bhakti really is to see another Vaishnava getting the mercy of the Lord. One day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw that the Chand Kazi was persecuting his devotees. It was really a horrible situation. He had soldiers out in Navadweep all day long. And if anyone was chanting, they would beat them, they would imprison them, they would break mridangas. And the devotees and the townspeople were very afraid. So the Lord said, tonight I will lead the chanting. Everyone come with torch. That's a wonderful story, how Lord Chaitanya, with Nityananda Prabhu on one side and Gadadhar Pandit on the other side and Advaitacharya dancing along with them, they, with hundreds and thousands of people, they danced through the streets of Navadweep. It said even the demigods from the heavens were coming down to join this kirtan. Everyone joined the kirtan. It was all attractive. And the people were decorating their houses with banana trees and all kinds of auspicious articles just to make it pleasurable for the Sankirtan party to go by. And when people saw Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan, they just immediately left their homes and ran and joined it. It was in the middle of the night. Husbands forgot their wives. Wives forgot their husbands. They forgot their children. The children forgot their parents. All they knew was Hare Krishna. Mahaprabhu was dancing. And the thieves, they were very happy. They were thinking, this is the golden opportunity. Everyone's left their houses. Nobody's home. We could steal. They started running to the houses. But as they were running, they went by the kirtan party. And all of a sudden, they forgot that they were thieves. And they joined the kirtan and started dancing in ecstasy. Chand Kazi, when he heard it from a distance, he sent his military guards, go out and stop this nonsense. Tell me what's happening. They went out and they saw hundreds and thousands, millions of people. And at one time they were all chanting, kill the Kazi, kill the Kazi. They saw Mahaprabhu dancing. They became so afraid. They hid their beards under their cloth. And they disguised themselves and started dancing, fearful for their lives. So ultimately, Lord Chaitanya came to the house of Chand Kazi. Chand Kazi was hiding. So Lord Chaitanya said, get him. Please get him. So he came to the door. And Chand Kazi said, actually, I was friend of your maternal father or grandfather. Therefore, I'm actually your uncle. You're my nephew. So we should not take these things so seriously. And they had a nice discussion. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proved to him, on the basis of not only the Vedas but the Holy Quran, that one should not kill one's mother in form of the cow and eat meat, and that ultimately God is a person. And Chankazi surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. It was a great victory. And Chankazi promised, from this day on, none of my descendants will ever interfere with your Harinam Sankirtan movement. So after this great, great victory, that was the first public kirtan that Lord Chaitanya ever danced at. So we should not judge a book by looking at its cover. It appeared to be the greatest tragedy in the lives of the devotees. They were being persecuted, they were being beaten, they were being plundered, they were being imprisoned, but that's what invoked the Lord to go out and chant in the streets and show his beautiful dancing to the world. Previous to that, he would only chant in the secret houses of his own house, Srivas or Chandrasekhar Acharya. After this glorious, glorious episode, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued his kirtan to the little grass hut of Kolavecha Sridhar. At the doorway, there was an old iron pot that Sridhar would use to clean himself. This iron vessel had so many dents and holes patched up in it. But it describes in the scripture that even the most desperate thief would not even consider stealing it. And that was about the only possession he had. His little grass hut was just one tiny room with nothing in it. And at the door was just this old dented iron pot that he would use to drink from, to clean himself with. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went up to that old iron pot and began to drink the water from it. When Kolavecha Sridhar saw this, he cried out, "Alas, alas, now I am dead. My Lord, you have come here to kill me. I drink from that pot. I clean my body with that pot, and you're drinking from it." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to weep in ecstasy. He said, "Today, by drinking this water, which is sweeter than nectar, I have attained devotion to Lord Krishna." When he spoke that, the devotees, Advaita Prabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar Prabhu, Srivas Prabhu, all of them, they all started falling on the ground, rolling around in ecstasy, weeping and crying, to see how Lord Chaitanya was revealing the love, which was the true treasure of life that was possessed by Kolavecha Sridhar. And it is described herein, that vast wealth, very erudite learning of the scriptures, having many, many, many followers, having physical beauty, strength, influence, none of these things appeal to Krishna. It is only devotion, humility and devotion, that attracts Krishna. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not even look at a beautiful, solid, gold, bejeweled vessel, but he personally drank out of the old, dented vessel because it was from his devotee. But the jeweled vessel, if it is filled with water from someone who is not a Vaishnav, he doesn't care anything for it. Bhaktyatvananya shakya aham evam vidvarjana gyatam drastam chatatvena praveshtam chaparantava. It is only by undivided devotion that one can know me as I am, standing here before you. Only in this way can one enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fulfilled his promise. Years before, he told Sridhar, "Someday I am going to reveal to the world the great treasure that you possess." And on this day, he showed the world that the treasure of love and devotion that was in the heart of Sridhar conquered even him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was begging to drink the water from the cup of Sridhar. To prove that the success of life is no material position, no material acquisition, but it is that simple surrender of the heart. And one who surrenders in the heart, genuinely, honestly, with devotion, whether he's big or small, it is explained by, in our scripture, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said it, that one who categorizes a Vaishnava as big or small is offensive. A Vaishnava is a Vaishnava. They should be honored. They should never be offended. Because we cannot judge necessarily. Srila Prabhupada, I remember he once told us about this old lady. She was a widow at Radha Damodar Temple. She would every day just bring some water for the deity to get bathed in from the Jamuna. Nobody knew who she was. She would just do that service every day, just an old widow, just bringing a little water. Prabhupada praised her for her devotion. Yet in the same Vrindavan, there's so many big, big scholars doing Bhagavat Saptahas. So many wealthy, wealthy people building temples. He didn't praise any of those people. He praised that little old lady who brought the water because she had genuine devotion. I think that is Swavas Prabhu's mystic potency too. The alarm to end class. So this is what Prabhupada has come to give us. And if we open our hearts very honestly to receive his mercy, then we will reciprocate by really making an earnest, honest, and sincere effort to surrender to Krishna. By being the humble servant of his servants, by attentively chanting the holy names, by carefully following the regulative principles, and by giving our life and soul to assist in whatever big or small way we have the capacity to do in spreading his mission, which is his service to his Guru Maharaj. That is our life, that is our soul. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.